Blog Talk Radio.
Benjamin Brothers Realty presents The Michael Van Tol Show, an inspirational community affairs program produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, LLC. Experts in providing support services for new businesses. Call 248-516-8300. Benjamin Brothers Realty can help you buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing. Call them at 331-248-7120 to find them, fix them, and flip them. And now, author, recording artist, community worker, and Cast Tech graduate Michael Van Tol.
What you love in me, just when you think it ain't, it's gonna be. Just call his name and you see what I mean. Because he loves you unconditionally.
With this, my name is Michael Van Tol. The show is produced by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group, sponsored by Benjamin Brothers Realty and the warrior lawyer Johnny Hawkins. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I do want to just thank some people this morning. As many of you may know, that my mother, Shelley's Mommy Major, Eloise Van Tol, passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I just want to thank the Salvation Army, first of all, for their help, support during this time. And also, I want to thank a number of other fine organizations, including the Salvation Army, Franklin Wright Settlement, for the memorial arrangement that was sent, and Oakland University Black Alumni Board, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Michigan, Joshua's Dreams Nonprofit, LLA Inc., and CEO Ami Burrow. Thank you so much for the support over the past few weeks. As I look back, what a fantasy it was growing up in the household and with my mother and father over those years growing up. When I look back now, it's such a great time, such a learning experience, and I really enjoyed those years growing up, you know? And the reason I said it is because, you know, I grew up in some exotic locales like Panama and Bermuda, and traveled to many places over the years, like Jamaica a number of times, Hawaii, Mexico, it all now looks like a fantasy. And, you know, even before I was born, she was living and working places like Costa Rica and Cuba. And so this morning, I also want to recognize a lot of those people in a lot of those countries that Major Eloise Van Tol worked with. And if some of you are listening now, some of you in Cuba, Jamaica, Guyana, Bermuda, Costa Rica, just so many places. And then, of course, here in the States, many in the United States, because we were transferred here as a family back in like the mid-70s, 1975, 1976. So I just look back and I just thank God for a very, very good childhood and learned a lot of lessons in life. And I think that's why now I at least try to do work with organizations, some of those that I listed this morning, today, that organizations are seeking to help people, to help them in, you know, everybody isn't born with a silver spoon. Everybody doesn't have everything. Everybody's not wealthy and things like that. there are things that happen to people that are no fault of their own. They just happen to be in that place at that time. And, you know, I never thought I would grow up in this family. You know? You just can't pick. You know, one of my poems is about that. It's, you know, why do I live in luxury when a little girl dies of AIDS in the dust of Nigeria, you know, in the Congo, in North Africa, you know, I didn't choose to be born in this country, or, matter of fact, I wasn't even born in this country, but I didn't choose to be born in this part of the world. I did not choose to, you know, live in America. I might have chosen that if I did, but we don't get to pick, you know, who our parents are, where we're living, and all that stuff when we're born. And I do appreciate, I don't think, you know, unless I was born into one of those perpetually rich families like the royal family or the Ford or the Fords or, you know, Mellons, Rockefellers, all that, you know, hey, when I grew up in the Van Til family, I felt like it was just the same. So I do appreciate, you know, the fact that I was brought up in that environment. And, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's taught me lots of blessings. Look, let me take a station break. When we come back, let me talk a little bit about some of the events that Wayne County Commissioner Monique Jacob McCormick has got coming up for this summer. As you know, I'm a legislative aide, and we've been working hard on these projects for this summer, and I want to tell you a little bit about that for these messages.
Have you or a loved one been seriously injured in a motor vehicle-related accident? Waste no time and make your first call count. Call Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer.
Hello, I'm Johnny Hawkins, and I can assure you that no one can out-service me. How do I know this? Because I care. Listen to me. I'm only blessed in what I do, so that I, in turn, can be a true blessing to others. That's it. That's how this thing works.
For a free telephone consult with Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer, simply call 248-567-9990. That's 248-567-9990.
It's a member of the Real Team.
We find them and fix them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them.
We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them and flip them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them. We find them and fix them and flip them.
Listen, we find them and fix them and flip them. We fix them and then we equip them. Got them dripping with style, got them like wow. Now everyone wants to know how. If you wanna do it yourself, you can generate generational wealth. It's so comprehensive and it's not expensive, essential for financial health. You'll appreciate how we articulate when we communicate and we educate and we motivate and we innovate. It's
Benjamin Brothers Real Estate.
If you want to buy, sell, or learn how to do real estate investing, please call 331-248-7120 or email us at bbrosrealty@gmail.com. That's bbrosrealty@gmail.com.
And now, back to the Michael Van Tool Show, sponsored by the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the Warrior Lawyer. Call today, 248-567-9990. And now, Michael Van Tool.
Let me tell you something, don't you worry about a thing tonight. I promise you that everything is going to be alright.
Michael Van Tool Show, Detroit's Sunday morning news information podcast. Just waiting to see if any of the Sunday morning team. You see, I know the team has been really traveling. I mean, me too. But the team has really been traveling a lot this summer. And but as soon as when it does, I will definitely lock them in and get them on. All right. Lane County Commissioner Monique Baker McCormick covers the far west side of Detroit. Her district is District 6, far west side of Detroit. That is west of Greenfield, north of Grand River, up to 8 Mile, and west between all of the far west side of Detroit and then all of Webster Township. That's the district. And I've got, there's some events that the commissioner is hosting. And first of all, the Wayne County Commission Youth Council, which he formed, will be accepting applications from August 1st to September 15th. These are for Wayne County High School teams. And you must be in Wayne County High School 10th, 11th, or 12th grade. And you can request an application at this number. I'll give it to you in just a second. But what it does, it covers, you learn about leadership. You learn, the teams learn about public speaking, how to dress, about Michigan law. Very, very good. Very, very helpful. You know, there's a, things like, there are a lot of teen programs out here. Even the college tours. And there are a lot of programs out here that, in addition to high school, it helps to enhance and improve chances for you to be successful in life, in your career. And this is one of them. You know, you all heard of midnight golf. These programs are in place to push these teams even further so that they could be ready for the real world. So Wayne County Commission Youth Council applications are being accepted from August 1st to September 15th. So here's the number to request an application, 313-224-0884. Now, you may not, you know, it's an application process. I'm not saying that you're going to be guaranteed that they will be accepted and into the program. But you can at least apply, and then they will let you know if you were selected or not. I think it's an excellent program founded by Commissioner McCormick. All right, here's the next event. Wayne County Commission budget hearings. For the first time in a very long time, the budget hearings will be held in local districts. And this time, it's in District 6. And it will be at the Detroit Police Department 8th Precinct Auditorium on Monday, August 14th. And it's an all-day hearing from 10 to 3, Wayne County Commission budget hearing at the Detroit Police Department 8th Precinct Auditorium. And that's on McNichols Road, you know, right in front of Myers, the sewer on Grand River, from 10 to 3 on Monday, August 14th. All right, then, Mr. McCormick is hosting a Veterans Administration Service Award Program. Veterans Administration Service Award Program. September 7th at the VA Hospital on John R. in Detroit. So make sure you put all this on your calendar. Next is a town hall on senior scams. You know, just like we get up every day and go to work, hey, the criminals get up and they start calling our seniors and trying to scam them out of money every day. It's a daily occurrence. There's so many senior scams out here. And it's going to be, and the guest speaker is Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. So, put that on your calendar. Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 at Greater Grace on 7 Mile Road. And it's part of Commissioner McCormick's Getting to Know Wayne County series. The town hall is on senior scams, and then resources to fight them, exposing the scams, letting you know, what they're doing, what these crooks are doing out here every day. Add that to your calendar. Also, the war on trash. On September 30th, wow, this is, there's a lot of stuff going on. On September 30th, from 10 a.m. to 12:30, at Southfield and McMinnville, the war on trash, which I'm a part of, we're going to remove illegal signs on poles on the street. We're going to, and then we're also going to repair and repaint one of the community signs too in the area. So, look, here's the number. If you want to get involved, 313-224-0881. Actually, that's my number at my office. And you'll get through. So, matter of fact, any questions, if you want to RSVP for any of these events, please call me, 313-224-0881. And let's see. I'm just going to run through some headlines here. The extreme heat continues across the U.S. South and West. Record-breaking heat. And the thing about it is, it's also in Europe. It's also in Europe. This excessive heat, Europe's facing excessive heat and wildfires. More and more political insiders say Senator Tim Scott, the only black Republican running for president, may be the best candidate out here. Isn't that interesting? Maybe the best candidate. That's what they're saying. And he's polling very well right now. Let me welcome one of the Sunday Morning Team minister and gospel artist and overall community worker. Good morning, Minister Smith. How are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Just fine. Great, great. It's a beautiful day, and you know, at least we don't have to deal with the excessive heat that they are facing down from Miami all the way across the South, Louisiana, Texas, Arizona, California. Excessive heat. And people are suffering and dying from the heat. It's so hot. And as I said a few minutes ago, it's not even just in the U.S., but across Europe. Excessive heat. What's new this morning, sir?
Not much. Just just trying to sort through some things and just you know, my niece was buried yesterday and I wasn't there because I couldn't take seeing my baby girl go like that. And it's so much going on now.
It is. I had a conversation with another one of our Sunday Morning Team members, Henrietta Ivy, and my condolences to Henrietta and her family on the loss of her mother this past week. You and I talked about, you know, I remember how relieved and happy I was when we survived COVID, but now we've entered another season, and we have been losing so many people now, not just locally in our community, but nationally. But it just seems as though we are really facing a lot of adversity. You know, families are dealing with a lot of extreme challenges and attacks now. And I remember I called Henrietta this week because I know that she lost a good friend, Brenda Hill, and then her mother, and I, you know, you can only text or post something on social media, but it's still, as Hattie Humphrey said, you know, it's picking up the phone and talking to somebody still has an impact.
Yes. It's a bit different, for sure. And, you know, I know Henrietta's going through it. You know.
Yeah. But, you know, we all of us, all, you know, I just came through, and I just, as I came on the program this morning, was thanking organizations for some of the, you know, things that they did to help me get through this time. But even just the three of us, like, as we're talking, me, you, Henrietta, Ivy, we all have been facing this sadness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but one thing I've learned, Minister Smith, is that life is short, and a lot of people don't realize it until, you know, when I realized it, when I thought that when I was in high school, I thought that by the time I retire, by the time I get 60 years old or something like that, it's going to be a long, long time from now. But
yep.
Then, I remember when I was 40, I got notices, emails saying, like, Mary Williams, who graduated in my class, passed away yesterday. She leaves behind a family. She had two kids. She went to university. She went to Cass Tech. And she's got grown kids. And she retired from such and such. But what I'm trying to say is that life is short. You go to school, you raise a family, you retire, and that's it. That was life. You don't realize until you've gone through it that you don't have, you just used up maybe, what, 50 years of your life? Chances are most people won't see another 50.
Nope, they sure won't.
And it's really important more than ever for people to recognize that really is earlier. I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's being, I don't know what some of these churches are teaching people. I don't know what they're talking about Sunday morning. All I know is that I don't think they're letting people know that we don't have all the time in the world. You know?
Well, then
we don't. I don't think there's a lot of things I think a lot of churches are not teaching their members. I don't know, you know, I'm sure the choir is singing very well. I'm sure some of the preaching, you know, is fantastic. The, you know, the poetry in some of these preachers. The liturgical dancing, you know, the choir's dancing, people are dressed up, it's being televised, you know, it's broadcast around the world. I mean, it's almost like, it's like a show, it's like, you know, and I noticed, you know, and I didn't think I was going to get on this topic, but I noticed that a lot of churches are going for this entertainment thing now, where it's a lot of entertainment. I don't mind every once in a while that, you know, they have something special, like they have a play. I went to one church, and instead of the sermon, they did a play. you know, in place of the sermon. And then some churches, they're constantly bringing in national acts. I notice a lot of churches, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying that it's starting to be a lot of entertainment. I notice a lot of churches now are hosting jazz events on the church.
That ain't right.
On the church lawn, on the church property. I don't know. I just don't know if that is going in that direction. I know they need to make money. I know they need to bring more people in. But, I know that some churches sponsor events where alcohol is served. You know?
I've seen it. I don't participate in it. I don't be around it. I don't be bothered with it. Nor do I be bothered with the jazz event.
Yeah. It's more of an entertainment, then they bring in these national recording artists, and they basically, it's a more focus on concerts. It's a focus on, guess who we're going to have this morning? Chart-topping so-and-so at the top of the gospel and R&B chart. You know, it's just a lot of entertainment now. Some people don't even want to go to the church if they don't have a good choir. It's the choir. This is the last thing I'm going to say about this. Some of these gospel songs, that's what it is, R&B. Some of these gospel R&B and rap, you have to listen really carefully to see if it's gospel or not. Some of them, you can't even tell. You don't know which chart it should be on. Should it be on the gangster rap chart, or should it be on the R&B, the dance track? You just don't know. I tell you, it's something else. What are you saying?
I'm about to have to get about the people. That's why I'm changing who I connect with anymore. I don't deal with everyone.
Yeah, the lines are starting to get blurred. Speaking of lines getting blurred, according to CNN, men's grooming in America is booming. According to data gathered by market insight company Statista this year, the global male grooming market is expected to be worth $115 billion in the next 5 years, up from $80 billion last year. So from $80 billion to over $115 billion in the next 5 years. The same market was worth $74 billion in 2021. I guess because now men are getting... Have you watched the basketball or football game recently to see some of the hairstyles?
Yeah.
Unbelievable the amount of the time and attention that men are putting towards their hair now. So thanks to shifting notions of masculinity and the prevalence of social media and a host of brave new poster boys, like some of the gay rappers out here now, they are perpetuating the idea that it's okay to embrace self-care and in turn self-expression as a man for the potential for exciting new growth in male grooming. And male grooming landscape is nothing short of exponential. According to Dr. Carolyn Brooks, founder of The Glass House, an exclusive Dubai-based salon and spa, the most significant areas of growth in men's grooming are hairstyling, personalized grooming sets, and beard care. Men are investing more in products like oils, balms, and conditioners keep their facial hair healthy and stylish. But it's skincare that dominates the market. Over 45% of the global men's market is in skincare. Men are realizing the importance of proper skincare and embracing cleansers, moisturizers, and anti-aging products. Yeah, you know, there's some good with that, and there's also some a little bit crazy because men's clothing styles are starting to change. Some of these, and you know, it's led by a lot of these singers, black and white, where men are starting to wear more flowered clothing, more feminine clothing, dresses. Men are starting to wear dresses and skirts now. It's all moving in a direction. I had a dream one night that about the future. And my dream that I had was that at some point in the future, I don't know how long it's going to take, but the laws are changing, you know, with a lot of the LGBTQ and a lot of the, you know, pronouns, he, they, she, her. At some point, I think they're going to say that you don't need to know, or it's not going to be necessary to know if anybody's male or female. And then the other part of my dream is that men and women will be dressing the same at some point in the future. Maybe in the next, I think within the next 20 years, I think men and women there will be hardly any difference between clothing for male and female. That, because I see a lot of women now that are just kind of just wearing jeans, a t-shirt, baseball caps. You can't even tell if they're women or not. And they dress like a man. And then there are a lot of men who wear clothes that women normally would wear. So I think those days are coming, and we're just living in a whole new world out here. I think those, you know, that was a vision I saw one night in a dream, that the clothes will be the same. I went to see Oppenheimer, the movie, the other day, on the premiere night. You know, this is Barbie Oppenheimer. I think it's a great marketing move. Have you seen Barbie?
That's crazy.
I thought it was a great marketing move. I don't think it was planned this way, but I think it started just the momentum, and then the two movie companies decided to promote it as an Oppenheimer Barbie thing, and they made a killing at the box office on opening weekend. As you know, Barbie is about the Barbie doll come to life, and Oppenheimer is about the creation of the atomic bomb. Two totally unrelated movies, but the marketing is genius to tell people go to see Barbie and then go to see Oppenheimer. I didn't get to Barbie. I went to see Oppenheimer. Went with the family. We went to see Oppenheimer. And I knew a little bit about what happened during those days while they were creating it. But this movie went through the details, and there was not a lot of action. You know, it wasn't like one of these shoot 'em up shows, cars driving fast, police. No, it wasn't. It was a lot of action, dramatic. Now, it was a drama, but they pulled it off. They told us the story of how the atomic bomb was created and how the U.S. was the first to create it. And it showed a lot of the inner workings, a lot of the, they were watching each other, they were spying on each other, you know, the scientists were being watched as they were creating it. Some of them, you know, they were followed, pictures were taken of them. They were so worried that they were going to expose the secret to somebody else. And at the time, they didn't even realize it was very dangerous to test this stuff. They didn't have any, except for some coverings of their eyes, when, you know, that's radiation. When you set off an atomic bomb, that's radiation, and they did not really have enough protection. They said that a lot of people did suffer while they were testing these things. But what happened was now it's irreversible, because now the U.S. is not the only country that has the bomb. Many other countries have it now, including North Korea and Russia and China and Great Britain. And, you know, so many countries have it now, and they're trying to stop Iran from having it, from developing it. A lot of countries have it now. All I know is that the next, if anybody starts using nuclear weapons, and Putin in Russia is threatening to use them on Ukraine, if you go down that road, we're in trouble.
I'm sure.
Because, you know, we dropped the bomb on two cities in Japan at the end of World War II. One nuclear bomb dropped on Hiroshima, however you want to pronounce it, killed, instantly vaporized 50,000 people. Vaporized them. There was nothing left. It was so hot and explosive. When they dropped the bomb, it immediately evaporated over 50,000 people. And that's how many died the first day. And every day after, for the next few weeks, more and more people died. And then it was dropped again because the Japanese did not surrender. We were trying to get them to surrender because thousands of American GIs were being killed in the Pacific Islands fighting the Japanese. And we dropped the bomb so that they would surrender so that we won't lose more Americans. So the Japanese were very stubborn. And even after we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, they still didn't surrender. So we dropped the second one on Nagasaki. And when we dropped the second one, and the Japanese realized that if they did not surrender, that the U.S. would basically totally destroy Japan, just wipe it off the face of the earth if they did not surrender. And they realized that they better hurry up and surrender, and they did. But those two bombs ultimately caused the death within a few weeks of over 200,000 people. Isn't that something? 200,000 people. And now we have to deal with this weapon being available. So if more people, if we get into another war, if we get into another war, an atomic bomb is going to kill millions of people. I have the numbers right in front of me here for, you know, as we're talking about Oppenheimer. A great movie, by the way. Very riveting. But initially, in Hiroshima, 66,000 people died right away. In Nagasaki, 39,000 died right away. 69,000 were injured. And when I say injured, that they had radiation problems. Their skin was peeling. They had all sorts of cancers. Nagasaki, 25,000 people suffered effects from the bomb. Can you imagine you drop one bomb and you kill 66,000 people? One.
Yeah.
One bomb. That's what the damage. Isn't that something? One bomb dropped back then in the late 40s. And just think of that. This was in the late 40s. Killed that many people. They said they didn't even know. People were just missing when they dropped those bombs because they were just evaporated and gone. They never, and you know, that's got to be hot. It's got to be hot for you to incinerate someone and, you know, if you were 1,000 feet from the bomb, you were gone. You were toast. People died even, and I'm looking at some of the data now, from 2,000 feet away up to 9,000 feet. Even at 9,000 feet away from the center of the, from the bomb, you still died. It's just amazing. Most people died from burns. In Hiroshima, 60% of those who died from burns. 30% died from buildings collapsing and other debris. In Nagasaki, 95% died from just being incinerated. They burned to death. 9% died from falling debris and slight glass, you know, glass from windows and things like that. What a terrible, you know, it allowed us to win the war, but we've entered a whole new thing now. And you know, they're more powerful now than those bombs are more powerful now. So you know, more people would die now if those weapons were used. It's just incredible. Just incredible. I just want to just mention some of the rest of the Sunday morning team, including, and we mentioned Henrietta Ivy already, evangelist Christy Lasser Andrews, part of the Sunday morning team, and I think a lot of the team, as I said earlier, a lot of people have been traveling.
Yeah.
A lot of the team members have been traveling this year. I mean, I have too, you know, and I still got a few more places before the end of the year that's on track. But you yourself, you've been traveling in and out of town. Kimberly Bachelor Davis, our lifestyle editor, speaker, podcaster. She's been traveling quite a bit. And Captain Kathy, I know he's been busy this summer. And I just want to kind of give a shout out to the team, Miss Mary Hattie Humphrey. She has been, you know, 95 years old. You know, she's been on TV, she's been on the radio. Miss Mary Humphrey has done it all. She has been in the public eye for, honestly, generations, you know, and a long time. I did not know her when she was on TV. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
She was on Reverend Robert Grant.
Is that on 62 radio?
Yeah, she was on 62.
Yeah. Yep. And so she was doing it. She was doing big things way before me, way before I came along. I remember going to her first banquet back in like around 1998, 1999. She had heard that, you know, around that time I was all into doing cafes, poetry and jazz, and I was performing, you know, my book. I was working on a book and a CD at the time, and Miss Mary invited me to recite some poetry at her banquet. And I remember when it was over, she said she wanted me to come on her show next Sunday. So did Martha Jean McQueen. Martha Jean McQueen was there too at the first banquet. And that's where I met Martha Jean McQueen. And actually, Martha Jean asked me to come on her show first. So I did an interview with Martha Jean, and then Missionary invited me on her show the next week. So I think at some point, I do believe that Martha Jean is going to ask me to either do my own show or something. I think that she is going to have me as a regular feature on her show somehow, or give me a show, give me my own show. And Missionary asked me to come on her show, so I went on Missionary's show. But Missionary surprised me after the show. Attorney Mark LeBlanc was our major sponsor, and the three of us did the show. When I was walking out the studio, I said, "Thanks, Miss Mary. That was fun. I've never been on the radio before. That was fun. I hope to see you at some point in the future." And she said, "Wait, hold up. No, I want you to be my co-host. I want you to be on the radio with me from now on." That's how she told me. I was getting ready to get in my car and go home, you know, went to her banquet, did her show. But God had something bigger in mind, because Missionary, the relationship we had, it took both of us higher and higher. I ended up introducing Missionary, and I asked her, I said, "Look, Dr. Smith," I asked her one day, I said, "all the people you know, all these church people, all these pastors, evangelists, and ministers, and all these radio people, I said, how come you don't have them as your co-host?" And she said there's two reasons why. Number one, she said she didn't trust him. Can you imagine that? She said she don't trust him. And she said some of the church people tried to, you know, do some underhanded stuff with her. You know.
Yeah.
And then the other reason is he said, Michael, you brought people to me. You added to me. I didn't have to help you do nothing. Because when I met Missionary, I was already working at the bank full time. I was already president of my Lions Club. President.
Yeah.
I was already involved with nonprofits. Had gotten an award from the Salvation Army in 1987. I got an award from the Salvation Army. I introduced her. People think that she introduced all the politicians to me. No. I introduced her to some business people, and I introduced her to people like Jennifer Granholm. And I connected the two of them. And so that's why she stuck with me all these years. But it changed my life, I'm telling you that. It put me right, even to this day, right now, on my cell phone, I've got the personal cell numbers of basically who's who in Detroit. But I knew business people, but she knew the politicians and the church people. And now I remember one day I went to a church and I just wanted to go and sit down and be like a regular person, right, Dr. Smith? You know, I just wanted to go in like a regular person. And I just went to the service, and at the end of the service, I took the pastor's hand on the way out and gave him my card. He said, just a second, you're Patty Humphrey's co-host? He said, Mike, why didn't you say something or give your card to the usher? Come say something to me. Did I offend Missionary Humphrey somehow that you would not even make any notation that you were here? And I realized it was bigger than me. That just like now with Commissioner McCormick, that if I do or say something, or if I don't do or don't say something, it has now a ripple effect. And if I went somewhere and I did not say that I was legislative aide for Commissioner McCormick, can have an impact, because somebody would say, well, your representative is there, but he did not acknowledge, he didn't tell anybody, you know? So I went to that church, and that pastor was offended. He thought Missionary put him on her bad list by me not introducing myself. So after that incident, every time I went to a church, I would, you know, I still do it now. Ever since then, I introduce myself to the pastor. And I do that now even with Commissioner McCormick, because now it makes an impact. I just can't go somewhere and sit down and act like I don't want to be bothered. It's past that. And that's why Missionary kept me as a co-host all these years, because I added to her. You know how some people just fight. You know, they pull you down, you know, and and that's really something that, you know, people have to think about during their life too, you know, make sure that the people you're around are accomplishing things, that they're doing things, that they're productive. You know, you don't want a lazy person around you, you know? You don't want somebody that's not doing nothing, you know? I remember I told you at the beginning of this year, I said, Mr. Smith, man, you got so much stuff going on this year. But you got to surround yourself with people like that, people that want to accomplish things and get stuff done, you know? Can't just go through life and not want to do anything at all. Like, you were here for a reason, right?
I have decided on this, on this, on this, I'm going to use it as a term, run that I'm on when I get back. My whole itinerary is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Like my late second father, I call him Dad of Shah, and my Bishop Papa King, them two men said to me, you don't surround yourself with people that are not going anywhere and that are not doing anything because you'll never be successful. Let me see. My father said it too. He said, surround yourself with people that love you and that have your best interest at heart and that will pour into you. He said, and you will see great success. And that's what I'm doing. So when I get back, I'm going to work harder than ever before. If I have to sleep at that office, I'm going to bust my butt.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it gets back to what we were talking about earlier. The reason, and I thank God for a lot of the stuff that I was able to do. Not only did I co-host with Missionary Humphrey, but I had my own show, and actually working on this, where me and my team are just working now to get back on the Praise Network, hopefully before the end of the year. But I thank God for a lot of the things that I have been able to accomplish in life, you know. I do not take it lightly, you know, that I was able to get a recording contract and a publishing contract right here in town. I didn't have to go to Atlanta or New York or L.A. I did not put one dime into that Keep On It project from back around 2000, 2003. That was that was a blessing. I thank God that I was able to sign a recording and publishing contract back then. I thank God that I had a 32-year banking career. You know, and I just look back and, you know, I have nothing to complain about, nothing. But I also see how fast the time is, how short this life is, and you have to use it. I want to make sure that, you know, when that time comes when I'm sitting in a nursing home or assisted living center, and they push me in front of Jeopardy to watch Jeopardy and wheel me back to my room and all that kind of stuff. I just want to say that, you know, I did all that I could. You know, I did not waste my time. Do I want to write some more books? Absolutely. I hear some people, they wrote like 20 books. They wrote, you know, they did 20 albums. I would love to. But I really respect, that's a lot of work. And it's amazing that these singers can come out and have so much music, that authors can have so many books and write so many books. I wish I could do more. So I'm the same way. I want to do more, too. I want to accomplish more. I want to write more books. I've got like 3 that I'm working on now. It's going very slow. But I've got 3 books that I'm working on now. So I'd like to get my second book published. And so I'm, you know, so there's some things I want to do too.
There's 2 books I need to get out. It's 2 books that I want to get out. One has to come out this year. Has to be complete. It's just a little novel or something.
Mm-hmm.
Prelude to what's really going to come out. And so when I get back, I'm going to be working with you on that. It's a lot of stuff I'm going to do. And there's a lot of people I'm separating myself from. I'm tired of people hurting my heart, and I trust them. That's done. Nope. Not doing it anymore.
And I wanted to, before we wrap up, wanted to see if you can give us an update on what's going on with your music. I just wanted to, let me just...
You are everything. You are everything. You're more than a mother, father, sister, brother. You
Yes, it's on YouTube, it's on Spotify, I was told, Amazon, and it's on even Alexa.
Oh, okay, okay. The arrangement was expertly done, very good, it was very good arrangement, sounds great, backup singers, the music is great, the words are great. Did you write the words to that song?
I did. In fact, I'm getting ready to add a bit more to it. And we got a video coming up pretty soon. Then I've got another song coming out behind it. And so, the Lord willing, I'm supposed to be meeting with a major record label pretty soon.
Well, that is an incredible project. And, just that one song is so powerful. And you took a great touch, you took a great song to invest in. It's a great song, great melody. And we've played it many times on the show. I just think that's a great song.
So someone said that one song would... All I needed was one song to get me over, and I said, "Well, it's not about getting me over. This is what this is part of my life now. I have to go forth and set the tone for everyone else." And so, also, I was thinking about you mentioned for the Praise Network. I still want to see it become a radio station of your own. Not working for nobody else, but you won't let your face.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, and that would be nice. You know, we don't have much black representation in town when it comes to radio ownership. It's something I would love to do.
So then let's do it. I'm all in for it. I just said I'm willing to work hard. Let's do it.
Yes, there's a lot to be done. There's a lot to be done. That's
right.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great show this morning. I just wanted to make sure just to say hello to the rest of the team. But sometimes it's good to just have a conversation. And I did want to, maybe on the next show, I'll open up the phone lines when we get the team here, when we have topics for people to call in. I want to thank all the organizations that sent these beautiful memorial arrangements for I'm Major Eloise Van Tool. I want to thank each of the listeners and people on that. You know, I got a ton of phone calls over the last couple of weeks. I've gotten a lot of messages sent to me on social media too. And, I really thank you and appreciate, and the Sunday morning team too. You guys really, really came through and supported me, and, you know, even Kimberly back in the Davis came and represented the Sunday morning team at the home going service. And, you know, it was great. I want to thank Mary Coston for just breaking it down and singing her heart out at the home going service. Forever, she will be my friend. I mean, she gave it all she got. She did. And then she sang one song. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to look at it. It's on YouTube. I'm going to share the link. I forgot to do that. I'm going to share the link with everybody because it is visible on YouTube, because we wanted to make sure that friends and family around the world. I'm sorry.
Mary Coston, she can sing.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yes, she can. If somebody needs a recording contract, she's on that list. And and she was so kind to even make mention of, you know, that her and I are good friends, and that she was honored to be a part of the service, and I'm so grateful to her. My mother would love to hear that, her singing that Saturday morning. She would love to hear that song. And Mary really brought it out from deep within. Just her heart out, yeah. All right, well, Minister Smith, have a great Sunday. Those who are listening, whether you're streaming online, if you dialed in, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the show. And I'm definitely going to post that link. I have not seen it yet. The video of the service, but I'm going to take a look at it now, and then I'll post it, post a link to it so that people can take a look at it. Have a blessed
when
day.
I get back.
Absolutely.
When I get back, we can meet. I'll be seeing you, and we'll be talking.
Yes, let's do, for sure. All right, be safe out there.
You as well. Take care.
All right, God bless you.
People living, people. Join me in the song, in this prayer. I want the whole world to join me in singing. I know it's your heart cry.
Are you tired of all the wars? Do you know it doesn't have to be this way? Killing and destroying our world. Do you want to change? Do you want to stay the same?
Say that we want to see.
Want to see people live.
Father, help us now. I choose to live and not die.
to expand their mind. Is it fair while they're there? They fear their own lives. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love contains great wealth. We can have a long life. Oh, I know you think I'm just a dream, but I see myself as a believer. Help our fathers, help our mothers.
Help our fathers and help our mothers.
Help my sister, help my
help
brother
my
now.
Help my sisters and my brothers. Oh God.
Help the preacher, help the teacher.
Help the preacher and the teacher, God.
Help the children, help the
children.
Oh my. Help our jobs and help our schools.
Open up doors and means and ways.
Help the White House, help our leaders.
Our
leaders,
today,
all nations, all people, everybody, everybody needs you.
Yeah.
If we ever need any you, Lord, we need you now. Help us, help us. This is our heart's cry. If we ever needed you, Lord, we need you now. Yeah. Help us.
You've been listening to The Michael Van Tool Show, brought to you in part by Michigan Ocean Strategy Group. Build your customer base now. And the law office of J.L. Hawkins and attorney Johnny Hawkins, the warrior lawyer. Call Johnny Hawkins, the personal injury expert today at 248-567-9990. Thank you for listening.
Everything is gonna be all right. Hold your head up high. Look up high.